Here is a question for you. Are disasters a punishment for your sin? Some years ago, you might remember, on the 11th of September 2001, two planes crashed into the World Trade Center in New York. Another one crashed into the Pentagon in Washington, and a fourth one was going to be flown into the White House, but some of the passengers managed to take over the controls. Well, there was a fight in the cockpit and it crashed in Pennsylvania. Many people, as a result of that disaster, said this was because of the wickedness of America and all the crimes of America over the years. Some people said it's because of America's approval of homosexuality. Other people said it was because of America's approval of abortion. Other people said all sorts of other things. And this was God's punishment. A few years after that, there was a very, very powerful hurricane which destroyed parts of New Orleans. There was terrible flooding as well as the very high winds. And again, people said the same. This is God's judgment. This is God's punishment upon that city for all its wickedness. And many times people have said, these things happen as God's punishment for this, for that, for the other. Some years ago I did a funeral here of a man who was only about 40. And I'm sure some people present thought, what great crime had he committed against God that meant that his life was taken so early? And in the sermon at the funeral, I raised the question. And I said, and the answer is, we do not know. Because God has not told us. Often, people will say that Britain is ripe for judgment. Recently we've had the passing of the assisted dying bill. And people have said this means that the elderly are going to be bumped off. Killed, murdered, terrible. And at the same time there was a vote on decriminalising abortion right up to birth. And again, people have said, this is wickedness. We are ripe for judgment. Some great disaster is going to strike the country as a result of this. Sometimes I see on Facebook videos of people driving very badly. And it will be headed, instant karma. Karma is a Hindu concept, but it's used to describe what happens when someone drives badly, they do some ridiculous manoeuvre, only for them to discover that the car they have just passed is an unmarked police car. Ah, karma gets you in the end. Well, the true Indian Hindu concept of karma is what you do in this life affects your next life when you are reincarnated, because that's what Hinduism believes, reincarnation. And you will have heard doubtless about the Dalai Lama, who is Buddhist, but they have the same concept that when he dies he will be reincarnated. And the Chinese government says, and we will choose who he's going to be reincarnated as if they could. But how he is reincarnated, whether he's reincarnated as a prince or whether he's reincarnated as a slug, is determined by the karma that he has earned in this life. In the Hindu concept, it's not instant. It affects your rebirth. But of course, the Bible makes it clear. We only have one life, and after that, the judgment. Some people quote Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 as backing up this idea. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So therefore, if you do something, there will be an immediate consequence. Well, we'll come back to that. But the question still remains, when bad things happen to us, is this God punishing us for our sins? Disasters, are they always a punishment for specific sins? Or is God patient and waits? But we can be sure of one thing, that God's judgment is certain. But one thing we learn from the scriptures is that punishments aren't always direct punishments for any specific sins, but rather they are warnings to us of the judgment to come. Listen to what Jesus says in the passage we read earlier in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, the first five verses. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Very appropriate passage on the 11th of September 2001. Those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all others who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying just because disasters happen, just because things go badly for you or for others, that does not equate with a punishment for their sins. So you cannot say, it hasn't happened to me, so I must be more godly and more righteous than them. It happened to them because they were greater sinners than I am. So God favours me more than he favoured them. But you look at the martyrs of the church down through the centuries. Consider the apostles. How many of the apostles died normal deaths? Just about the only one was the apostle John. All the rest were martyred. Some were beheaded, some were crucified. Peter famously is said to have been crucified upside down. But they all died terrible deaths. Was it because they were greater sinners than you or I? It's highly unlikely that you are going to be crucified. It is quite likely, given modern medicine, given modern health provision, given the quality of the food that we have, that many of us will live to a ripe old age. Does that mean that we are better than those in the past who died before they were 30? No, not at all. Could it be that the situation is this? God, having the use of mass communication, the greater spread of the gospel around the world, is giving people a greater chance of hearing the gospel, greater chance than people have had in the past. We must be very cautious about interpreting any and every tragedy as being God's special judgment upon specific people. Unbelievers love to point to this and say, oh, so you are saying that that happened because of their sin. No. In one sense, yes, because we are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death, and the reason why we all die is because of sin. But is the particular method by which we die a punishment for our sins? Do people die young because of their sins? Well, you could argue that some people are great sinners and they go around with a gun and kill lots of people, and eventually law enforcement catches up with them, and the only way to capture them is to shoot them. So in that sense, well, yes, perhaps you might argue that, but not from a biblical standpoint. You cannot say it's God's particular judgment upon a person. But all disasters tell us we are mortal. One day we will die. Whether we die after a long and happy life, or whether we die when we are young, we will die. Disasters, whatever disasters they are a reminder to us that we are mortal. And when we die, after that, the scriptures tell us, comes judgment. We must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we must give an account, and judgment will be passed upon us. Yet, in spite of the fact that we are sinners, in spite of the fact that we deserve endless punishment for our sins, God, while we are in this world, is gracious and merciful and kind towards us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 45, Jesus says this, "For he, God, makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." We must not misinterpret God's common grace, the grace he shows towards all men in sending sun and rain, giving us life, giving us breath, giving us all sorts of nice things. We must not misinterpret this as God approving of how we live, of what we believe, of what we think. We must not misinterpret God's kindness to us, because this is common to all. Whether we are the most godly, righteous and holy people in the world, or the most wicked, immoral and godless people in the world, God still shows this kind of grace to us in providing for us. Unfortunately, people, again, they misinterpret this. God has not punished me in any way, so therefore God must approve. That is a false conclusion. Disasters, when they come, whether it be to us or to others, these are warnings of the judgment to come. It hasn't happened to us yet. We do not know whether disasters will come upon us, but we do know we will die. And as Jesus says, it might not have happened to you, but take a warning. Take a warning, because though you might not be as great a sinner as those who have died, you might be a bigger sinner than those who have died in a disaster. But the lesson to take from the disasters is you need to repent. Galatians 6:7, I mentioned earlier, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." And people apply this to instant punishment. See, you have done this, so that happens. And they might use the illustration that if you stick your finger into an electrical socket, you'll get zapped. It might even kill you. Thankfully, it did not kill me when I electrocuted myself when I was off school with chicken pox. When I did something extremely foolish, which I would not advise anyone to do, getting zapped with 240 volts is not a pleasant experience. But as you can tell, I'm not 6 years old anymore. I have survived for a great many decades. What did the effect of having that electric shock have upon me? It sobered me up considerably. It was another 14 years before I was actually converted, but it did make me very thankful that God had preserved my life and not killed me. The principle of reaping what you sow is whatever you sow in this life, you will reap at the judgment. The judgment is coming. Jesus Christ will return and he will judge the world in righteousness at the time that has been determined. We don't know when that is, but the judgment will come. And however you have lived in this life, that will be what you reap at the judgment, unless you have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. Even if it's in the very last moments of life, you might live an ungodly life. But if at the very last moment before your death you repent and believe, even so you will still be saved. You will still have all the debt of sin cleared away. Not because you are worth it, but because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died and paid the penalty for your sin. If at any point in your life you truly repent and truly believe. So why is it that God does not give immediate punishment? Well, Paul speaks about this in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, you can read the first five verses, but Paul is responding to the attitude of people who say, these people that you've talked about in Romans chapter 1, these people are disgusting sinners. They deserve the judgment of God. And Paul says, do you think that you're any better than them? Do you not do the very same things in your heart? You might not do them outwardly, but what's going on in your heart? You are as big a sinner as these people, it's just you don't show it outwardly. And so he says, do you presume on the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? And this false notion that, well, I've lived a reasonable life, I've lived a happy life, therefore God must be pleased with me, does not follow. God has been gracious, God has been kind, God has been patient with you, but that does not mean he approves of you. It does not mean he will receive you into eternal glory with open arms, because you are still a sinner. You might not be a gross sinner outwardly, but in your heart, you are a great sinner. And your sins will find you out. God's patience is, for some reason, he is being merciful to you in preserving your life to this moment and as far on into the future, who knows how long, until that day when he takes you from this world to the world to come and you stand before Christ at the judgment. God is being patient in giving you an opportunity to hear the gospel and to repent. Do not abuse God's kindness and God's patience. God is storing up his anger against you, and that anger will fall upon you at the judgment unless, here, now, you repent and believe. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11 says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. So a man kills someone, and he looks around, no one's coming after me, no one's going to punish me. God's clearly not punishing me, so I'll do it again and again. And eventually he discovers that he's quite good at killing people and thinks, I can make money out of this. And so he makes money as being what is called a hitman. God hasn't punished me. No one's caught me. I can get away with it. No, you can't, because one day there is a judgment. And at the judgment, You will be found out, and you will be punished in accordance with your deeds. And while you might not be punished in this world, you will be punished in the world to come, appropriately, fairly, justly. So do not mistake God's patience and kindness as indifference towards your sin. Everything that happens of an unpleasant nature, whether it's in your life or in the life of other people, disasters that you observe in the world, it's a warning. It's a gracious warning. God is being kind to you in waking you up to the fact of your mortality and the fact that you are going to die. A chance to turn your back upon sin and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith. So, disasters are not a reliable guide or a reliable proof of God's specific judgment upon any individual. They are a loud warning to us all of the reality of the judgment that is to come. And hence, when God calls upon us to repent, we should not delay. Grace is offered in the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to God and say, I am wrong, I am a sinner. You are right. Christ is the only Saviour, and I must surrender my heart and life to Him. So don't wait for a disaster to happen in your life. Today is the day of salvation, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with Him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in a favourable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You do not know what the future holds. You do not know how much longer you have to live. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ now, while you still have opportunity, because the opportunity might be taken away. Pharaoh, at the time of Moses, hardened his heart. And the danger is that we, unless now we repent and believe, might harden our hearts. And we might live a long life. But if our hearts are hard toward God, we will never be saved. Listen to the message of the gospel now, while there is time, before it is too late.